What, from your point of view, how is this election shaping up, and how ought Canada be viewing what is taking place south of the border?
Well, it's shaping up to be a kind of close race. The number one thing that I would look at if I wanted to, you know, predict the future is the state of the economy. If the economy is doing really terribly, as it was in 2008, then you can expect that the incumbent party will do poorly. If the economy is thriving, then you can expect the opposite. The economy is kind of mushy, so that means it's going to work out to be probably pretty close. I think most of the models say that Obama has a slight edge, but you know, it's all within the margin of error.
So in your view, though, is this election about the domestic economy as opposed to foreign affairs, or does foreign affairs factor into this as well? And I have a good reason for asking. I put this question to Karl Rove and James Carville last week or two weeks ago when they were here. Given the fact that Mr. Obama has had a fairly successful foreign affairs record, and in particular given the high-profile capture and killing of Osama bin Laden, I can only imagine, given the American psyche, that that goes a long way.
Well, it probably does. I mean, the thing to remember is that the election is about different things to different people. Some voters are going to really remember that and care a lot about foreign policy successes. Other voters are going to look at the state of the economy or their own personal situation and so forth. And a lot of that stuff nets out. So I say, well, the economy is one of the most important things that that matters. One of the second most important things is the sort of foreign policy performance of the president, and that's usually worth a couple of points too. And so I imagine that it's going to matter in both directions. The campaign will probably try to, you know, both sides will try to emphasize the things that they see as their strengths. And since, if I'm right, that the economy isn't really strong for either, then they're both going to try to find other places. And surely the Obama administration is going to focus on those foreign policy successes as one of the things that they're going to, you know, emphasize.
Again, I don't know how much the average American, you know, thinks deeply before the election. Maybe that's a stupid question, but it seems obvious to me that on the economic front, Mr. Obama's inherited an economic mess. The European and global situation has not improved, and anyone who could think that he single-handedly, as a chief executive officer, could have turned that around might be somewhat naive, no?
Well, they would, yeah, definitely. That they would be naive if they wanted to blame anything on any one person or even on any one country's administration. But that's just not how human beings work. And there's a great deal of evidence that voters respond to, you know, sort of the state of the economy or just, you know, the state of their own well-being and punish incumbents when they're not happy. And it goes beyond the economy, where you at least might plausibly say that the administration had something to do with it. You know, it turns out that if, you know, in the United States, college football is a really big deal. And if you're in a college town and your football team wins on the day, you know, the weekend before the election, the incumbent will do better in that town, right? People are just happy because of the consequences of the football game. It's a tiny amount, but it adds up. So something as huge as the economy, yeah, that's going to aggregate to something that will matter, even if no one really should be blamed for it.
Canada-U.S. relations, how do you describe the relationship today?
I think probably the best person to ask is someone who's sort of more directly involved in international relations to get into that. But I think generally positive. I think most Americans, to be honest, don't think about other countries at all. When they do think about other countries, they tend to think of the more exotic ones. So there's not a strong, you know, positive or negative anything. But I think generally speaking, American citizens are positive about relationships with Canada. And I think that the administration government, which I definitely can't speak for, you know, also wants to have a strong relationship and so forth. But again, this isn't really my area of expertise. I'm more interested in elections and party behavior.
Okay. Why do you think this is going to be so close? You're not the first one I've heard suggest this.
Well, I mean, so we actually have a fair amount of, you know, empirical history that we can draw on. We can say, hey, this is how parties, you know, how the elections behave when the economy is like this. We can say this is how elections turn out when this is the state of foreign policy, when various things. And if you plug all the things that we know into it, we get a prediction that's fairly close. It's, again, just a slight edge to Obama, but really small. And, you know, so that's a sort of a scientific way of looking at it. Okay. And then if you look at it in a more casual way, there's, you know, there's a huge mobilized and excited group on both sides. And the set of voters who are, you know, who are swing are, you know, small but important, but they're kind of balanced, and it's hard to say which way they'll break.
No, I can understand that, but then you take into account the personalities of the candidates. I mean, Mitt Romney has not necessarily been a big hit even amongst his own Republican support base in the U.S. How convincing can he be as the alternative to those who might, as you say, because of the economy and their own economic circumstances, not give Mr. Obama a second chance?
Well, the thing about that is that partisans, Republicans and Democrats, tend to come home in the election. Right? So right now, if you talk to people, a lot of Republicans are going to say, oh, I'm not that excited about Romney, or they're going to at least express something that seems like less than being excited. But we've got a campaign coming, and the campaign, the job of the campaign and what it will do is it will remind Republicans that they're Republican, remind them what they don't like about Obama, and will remind them that their choice is Romney. And it'll similarly do the same thing to Democrats. And so the course of the campaign will be to bring partisans home, and so we'll be back to the place where I think we were, you know, in 2004 and 2008 with some deviations. But I don't really think the personalities of the candidates will end up being as important as the just systematic and broad message, which is what we see when we look at elections year in and year out.
I don't know if you have a good sense of this next question here, but whether or not after 4 years there of Mr. Obama being in office, there is any race quotient here coming into this election campaign. He becomes obviously the first Black American, Afro-American to become President of the United States. After 4 years, is that still an issue? Was it ever? Is it more so, less so? Is it at all?
Well, it's definitely an issue, again, for some people. And I think for the people who cared about Obama's race in 2008, they probably mostly care about it again in 2012. There are other things that overcome that, and they would seem to have overcome it in 2008. It's hard to get a finger on that. Like, what's the cost of being an African American or being of any sort of special category of being the first woman or anything else? Mm-hmm. What is it called? Because we have only seen one, and so it's hard to say. Well, how much does that cost him? But I think there's evidence that at least in some places it cost Obama, and then in other places it didn't, and then in the aggregate it didn't seem to matter very much. And I think that's probably going to be the story again, that there will be places where it will cost him votes, and it's a question of whether or not those are places, you know, a lot of the places where it costs Obama votes are states he's not going to win anyway. Yeah. So it doesn't much matter in the ultimate outcome. But it definitely is—it's an issue, and it's an issue that comes in both explicit and then these, you know, so very implicit ways. A lot of the conversation about where he was born or his religion is a way of talking about race that's, you know, not direct, but it then activates the way for some people it activates race as a way to think about him.
Is there anything that can happen in the U.S. economy, or do you think it's even possible for the U.S. economy to be altered in any way, shape, or form between now and November that would play more into this election than it is currently?
I'd say that you should ask that question to an economist, but they probably wouldn't have a good answer either. Right. I mean, if big changes are possible, and, you know, the economy fell in 2008 at the end in a way that no one predicted, right? And it was a really dramatic change. We already thought the economy wasn't growing very well, and that consequently the Democrat would be most likely to win. And then, you know, it went off the cliff. And if something like that were to happen again, it would have similar consequences. Alternatively, if there was suddenly some kind of surge in growth, which seems to be less likely, then that would have consequences too.
Very good to talk with you and to get your perspective on this.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now.